Yes, you could be sitting in the Hall of Fame and the world will know your name. This is Joy 99.7 FM. You're live on Personality Profile. I'm Lexus Bill. You know, I look forward to Thursday evenings when I take my seat like this. And after a hard day's work, you want to listen to some very good conversations. Yes. And as always, I have really wonderful people who need to be celebrated and, of course, talked about. And we can follow in their journey and learn a thing or two, or probably know a bit more about them. And this evening, I've got a brother that you would love to listen to. Yes, very young and energetic and very driven individual who is aspiring to greater heights. Already etched his name and a path, actually, in politics in Ghana. Well, just so you know, the video for this conversation is live on our Facebook page, so you can actually share it with your friends, family, and anybody who you'd want to listen into this conversation. So like I said, this is a brother who's, I can call it a meteoric rise. He's had a meteoric rise in governance and leadership. He's just about completing his first term as a member of parliament, but from all indications, he has endeared himself to the higher echelons of the party, of his party, of course, the NPP, for which reason he has earned some very prestigious nominations and appointments. Yeah. He contested and won the National Service Personnel Association president. Yeah. And he actually served with the second lady, Samira Baumia, a few years ago. In 2017, he was the deputy communications director of the NPP. After the party came into power, he was subsequently appointed as the head of public relations at the Ministry of Education. In June 2020, he stood for the NPP seat of Old Tafo constituency after Anthony Akutiose decided that, okay, he wouldn't want to go again. Yes, he is the member of parliament for the Old Tafo constituency in the Ashanti region. And he was also earlier this year appointed the deputy minister for local government and rural development. Lawyer Vincent Eko Asifua is my guest, and he's here looking all sharp, my brother.
Lexus,
good to see you, man.
Thank you for the compliment.
My goodness, I don't know who picked this jacket, but I mean, I didn't know fashionista was one of your accolades as well.
No, because I knew today I'll come to your show.
Oh, nice, nice. So this was a good pick.
I needed to prepare very well for the show. It's a show that is doing well in this country.
Absolutely.
I've had the opportunity to watch it once.
Yeah.
When I was in the UK.
Oh, okay.
But I think that you're doing so well with it.
Absolutely. So, thank you.
You're doing well. I'm happy to be here.
Good to see you. Good to see you. How have you been? Busy week, huh?
Yeah, it's been a very busy week, especially because some of us anticipated how the week was going to be about a week or two ago.
Right.
When we had some indications of what the opposition party wanted to do.
Oh, okay. So you had wind of all that's going on now.
Yes.
I see.
Because the former minority leader had already given an indication on a party rally platform that this is what they are going to do. He indicated that the NDC was now the majority per his calculation. So we had a wind of what was going to happen. So I was not surprised at all. It has been an interesting parliament.
It has. So now parliament is indefinitely adjourned.
Yes. Yes.
And so what does it mean for you? Some time to do other things?
Yes, some time to do other things. But for some of us who still works with the executive arm of government, we go to the ministry to work at the ministry. Maybe tomorrow I have to be in the constituency and back on Monday to continue the ministry work.
So around this time, you're really ready and getting people to, you know, excited about the voting that's coming up in a few weeks.
Yes. In Old Tafo, it's a blue constituency.
Mm.
A blue constituency because since 1992, since the dispensation of the Democratic era, it has always been about New Patriotic Party.
Yeah,
that is what they know. They love the blue, they love MPP, and so normally when we go, we try as much as possible to touch base with them. We go to churches, we go to schools, we go to markets, we go to hospitals, clinics, wherever that you can.
Is it safe to say there's not too much pressure on you?
No, for now there's not so much pressure on me. My preoccupation now is how to make sure that Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia becomes president.
I think
this election is the most important for me now.
Yeah, in when you stood last 4 years,
right?
I think you won by 70-something%.
Yes,
about 75%.
Yes, almost 75%.
Yeah. Do you think you would actually do better this time?
Of course, especially now that I've also been there for about 3 years now. I have tried so hard to better the lot of my people. That was the social contract that they signed with me when I had the opportunity to represent them. And so based on that, I think that they are going to increase the vote for me. But more importantly, I'm telling them to support Dr. Mahamadou Bawumia.
Why are you convinced that this is the message you should be selling now?
Well, because as I said, since 1992, all that my people know is the blue. NPP, so, as one of their son, and happening to also be part of the blue party, I don't think it's a difficult
You think regardless of what people say and probably what they're going through and, you know, the mood of the country, that, it's still going to be
that
NPP?
That is not what I said. I said the people
this is a different, this is a different question altogether.
The people love the blue party.
Regardless of whatever was going on.
Party. Yeah. Since 1992, they have always been supporting the new Patriotic Party. Anytime I have an opportunity to speak to them, I thank them first and foremost for their love and support for the new Patriotic Party. I do that on behalf of the highest echelon of the party, that whatever they've been doing for us since 1992, we appreciate it. They always tell me that they are also going to continue to love the party and support the party. Ashanti region will always have a role to play in whoever becomes president. And so, as a young person, what can I do to be able to garner a lot of votes as far as the youth is concerned for my party, especially for Dr. Mahamadou Bawumia? And that is what I have been doing ever since he was elected as the flag bearer of the new Patriotic Party.
We'll actually talk a bit about the Ashanti region phenomenon, like you mentioned. But let's talk about your first term in parliament. And like I said, your path through politics has been quite swift. Would you agree?
Well, I will agree with you. I think that I have been one of the luckiest young men in this country, especially because when I completed the university, that was in 2013 from Kane Westy. I had never been to Accra before.
Are you serious?
Yes, 2013.
You had lived your life in Kumasi?
Yes. I've lived all my life in
Tafopankrono.
Tafopankrono.
Wow.
That is where I was born and bred. So I had the plan to go back to my alma mater, St. Hubert Seminary, to go and teach after the university.
Okay.
So I had made plans with the then rector, Father Stephen Owusu Setre. When I was in St. Hubert Seminary and I completed, I had the best grade as far as elective maths was concerned. In fact, I had the best grade in all the subjects as well. So Father Stephen Owusu Setre decided that I should come back to the school to come and teach. In fact, I also loved to teach, because even after my senior high school, I was teaching at Azaria Senior High School in my constituency. I was teaching commerce and elective math. So I decided to go there to go and teach. Unfortunately for me, when the national service results came, or if you like, the national service postings came, I had been posted to the National Youth Authority in Accra here.
Right.
I tried so hard to change it, but I couldn't do so. But I can say that that was a blessing in disguise. If I had changed it, I'm sure I wouldn't be here as a Deputy Minister of Education, Deputy Minister for Local Government.
Yeah.
When I finally accepted to come to Accra to commence my national service, that was when I realized that there's an association called National Service Personnel Association.
Right.
I had contested for a number of elections on KNUSD campus and lost all the elections that I contested, three successive elections.
You're serious?
I ran for social science president. I lost.
Sushuso.
I lost. In fact, almost all the elections that I have run for, I lose by a slim margin.
I see.
Yes. So when I'm running for an election, be that as it may, I am just a contender.
And you sound very relentless as well. Like the failures weren't stopping you.
Yes. It weren't stopping me at all. I lost Sushuso, and I also lost College of Arts and Social Sciences President.
Okay.
CAS.
Yeah.
I was supposed to have run for SRC President, and when I had started my campaign, the current national organizer of the new Patriotic Party, Nana B, came to my room one time and told me, "Hey, Debbie, party for on say, yeah, the assume a senior co." That time, the guy is called Henry Ninfo. So the party Because I was part. On him. Yeah. I was part of TESCON.
Okay.
The party has decided on him, so I should step down. And I said, but Nana B, I have spent a lot. I have spent so much. So it's very difficult for you to tell me I should step down. But I had no option at the time. I discussed with my parents and they said, okay, I should listen to him. And okay. I stepped down. He was the TESCON president at the time.
Right.
So I withdrew from the contest and went for CAS.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I also lost CAS by about 98 votes.
So did you do an introspection to, you know, figure out why you were losing all these elections?
Yes, I did. I think that the problem was because, you know, I had just come from the seminary.
Okay.
So I did not have enough friends. When I went to the seminary, the whole class, our class, was 29 people.
Mm.
And about 26 of us, or 26 of them, had already continued to the next level to be Catholic priest.
Okay.
So I did not have any mate on KNUSD campus.
Oh.
But people who went to Opokuware, Pempe College, and in fact, I lost to an Opokuware guy.
Okay.
They have so many friends around.
Yeah.
So when they are voting, they normally vote for somebody they know. That but I did not have a friend. But of course, I knew quite a number of few people because I also went to Matters of Uganda in Kumasi.
Mm-hmm.
There were a number of them also on campus, but most of them had been to other universities and all that. But they were more associated to their Prempe College, their Opokuware, their Augustines, and their Presec and those kind of things. So it was a bit intimidating. It was one of the reasons why I lost almost all my elections.
Why didn't you join the other 26 people to become Catholic priests?
Well, at a point, you see, for you to even be admitted in the seminary to be a Catholic priest, you do not go there by way of your certificate. Those times, it is not the current St. Hubert Seminary we see. It was a typical seminary where if you have to go there, you go there on the recommendation of your parish priest.
Mm.
So the parish priest will give you a recommendation that we are kwadapa. So he can be formed to be a Catholic priest. It is on that basis that you get to the St. Hubert Seminary. So most of the times you even go there at a time that you don't even have a BEC certificate.
Okay.
It is when you are there that your results may probably come. So I went there without even having a BEC at the time, but my results came, BEC results came when I was on campus already.
Was it really in your plan to become a Catholic priest?
Yes. That was the main reason why I went there. Because at the age of 10, I had been a mass server. In fact, I started at the age of 9, but getting closer to 10, I started 7 mass.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been 7 mass from that time till I went to the seminary. So it became something that I really loved.
Mm.
When you come to Otafo, almost everybody knows me for that because every year we go out Stations of the Cross, if you know how the Catholic Church works. We call something Stations of the Cross. The Stations of the Cross, you come out of your church and go round the constituency, or you have specific places that you pass. Normally, I was holding the crucifix.
Okay.
That we go around the constituency for everybody to know that, okay, this is what the Catholics are doing. So it is something that I loved. And it's something that I really wanted to do. In fact, I went to St. Hubert Seminary purposely to be a Catholic priest. At the time, my father was the regional manager for Catholic education schools. So I had the opportunity to go to Opokuware or any other Catholic school in Kumasi. But I chose, or he chose that, with his support, of course, to be in St. Hubert Seminary. I never regret ever going there because I know that God actually took me there for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And the purpose was for me to be formed in such a way that this time, or now that I'm in public life, I should be able to do something different for people to know that, no, his acts and inaction shows that this person has been formed. And I think that is what we are doing.
So at what point was the, you know, journey truncated?
Well, the journey truncated when I completed my 3.5 years at the seminary. I made a decision that I don't think I want to do this anymore. My parents never supported until, in fact, for my
what was, what
for
was
my
the
mom,
reason for that decision?
No, I think it was a personal decision. I felt that, but then I had grown enough and I realized that, no, I wanted to take a different path.
Wouldn't you call that rebellion?
No, not at all. Not at all.
But you had gone through, what, 3.5 years
of
teachings at a seminary. And I'm sure at the time you were fully immersed. You were singing all the Latin songs. Sing all the Latin songs.
You see, the very first day I set my foot at the seminary. I got there around 4 p.m. Then in the seminary, every day there will be celebration of Mass. Every day, every blessed day, from Monday to Friday, there will be celebration of Mass. And we got there on Friday, knowing very well that you have left home to undergo a training to be a reverend father. Then around 7 o'clock, we got to the chapel, because by 7 p.m., you have to be in the chapel. We got there. That was our first church service. We have a singing prefect in the seminary. So the singing prefect started this song. There is a woman I love so much. There, I got confused. I was like, but we are here to be Catholic priests. So Catholic priests also don't marry. So what is this? There is a woman I got really confused. And I started turning around. Then I realized that normally, the way the arrangement has also have been made at the seminary, the first years will be in front, the second years and the third years, and the post-SS will also be at the back. So some of the colleagues were looking at the back, just checking around, are we really at the right place, or are we in a certain jungle, or we missed our way. Then they continue the song. There is a woman I love so much. There is a woman I love. There is a woman I love so much. The name is Mary. 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 Mother Mary. Mother, we honor you. So that was how we got introduced to the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Okay.
The belief of every practicing Catholic that she is the best intercessor. When you get to the seminary, they will introduce you into it.
Right.
So that if there's any woman that you love, it should be Blessed Virgin Mary, not any other woman, because your formation and everything is formed or is conducted in such a way that you have nothing to do with a woman. Mm-hmm. So they introduce the Blessed Virgin Mary to you, that if you want to love any other woman, or if you want to love any woman, it should be the Blessed Virgin Mary. So that is how, during the first days, they will introduce you to it. But I had a very interesting times at the seminary, and more especially, I had a favorite time. My favorite time was every Sunday, because every Sunday, two things would be there, and apart from that, in the evening, you go for benediction.
Okay,
that is where most of the Latin songs are sung.
Oh, yeah,
that is where most of the Latin songs are sung.
Like which ones? Which were your favorites?
For benediction time, you have Adoremus in eternum santissimum sacramentum laudate dominum omnes gentes laudateum omnes populi. Coniam et confirmata et super nos misericordia Jesus et veritas dominit manet in aeternum. Gloria patri et filio et spiritui sanctus secut erat in principio et nunc et semper et in saecula saeculorum. Amen.
Wow. So you went through all of this?
Yes.
Then
you went through all
point,
this.
You just decide that I don't want to be a Catholic priest anymore.
Well, that is why I'm saying that it was a personal decision at the time.
Inspired that decision, because you were there. You were almost there. 26 other people.
We were growing.
Some reason to become.
We were growing, but not all of them were able to be Catholic priests, because you see, it is at stages.
Yeah.
I left at the first stage.
Okay.
There are some who went to the second stage.
Why
that is
did you leave?
Sotium. Some of them also leave Sotium and goes to Pedu. So I think by the time that they completed, we had about 11 or so.
So why did you leave?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I was growing. I took the decision at a very younger age.
You were growing.
Yes, I was growing, and now I could decide very well for myself to know
was
what
it
I really
some
wanted
of the
to
things you will be missing if you become a Catholic priest.
Well, those are your words, but those are your words, but I mean,
you couldn't sacrifice that.
You swear fidelity to the Almighty God.
Yeah.
If you can do it for the rest of your life, you have to do it. But if you can't, I don't think that it is a problem.
You didn't
my
think
father,
you could.
My father is not a Catholic priest, but he's almost like a Catholic priest. Mm-hmm. Until just about 3 years ago, he was the chairman, or if like the president of all Catholics in Kumasi. We call it the laity director. So he has served his church. He has served the mother church without being a Catholic priest. You see, in the Catholic church, we have seven sacraments. Nobody can have all the seven sacraments because there is priesthood and there is marriage. So you can have six at a time. You simply cannot have all the seven. But if you have six, it means that your fidelity to God and your honesty to God is enough. So I will choose, because I'm not married yet, but I will choose the marriage sacrament.
Right.
Others also chose the priesthood for me. But there's something that I honestly, even today, my mother is not happy. I did not continue to the seminary.
Dad?
My dad got okay around 2018-19.
Okay.
Even when I was working with Samira, he was not okay. He felt that I should still go back to the seminary. My first year in KNUST, I struggled even with the fees a bit because they were not ready to help.
Wow.
They felt that I should go back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should go back.
Do you regret?
I don't regret it.
You don't regret it?
I don't regret it.
Okay.
I don't regret it. I feel proud of myself to have been there because it has taught me a lot. It has formed me. It has made me who I am today. So wherever I am, sometimes you'll be able to see some few things that shows that this guy had a formation that is different from the others.
What's the biggest thing it taught you?
Well, the biggest thing they taught me, at least as far as the seminary formation is concerned, is gentility.
Okay.
Nobody will tell you straightforward that but at least in the seminary you know that even if you are doing something bad, nobody will have to see it. But nobody is telling you that.
Yeah.
Because you are trained and formed in such a way that you always have to attempt to be pious. You always have to attempt to be pious. But we are human beings. We cannot. So when these reverend fathers are there, they also go to confession. Like we, the lay people, we go to confession. We go to confession to go and tell the Almighty God through him that we've done so, so, and so, so, and so, so, and so. And we are asking for clemency from the Almighty God. Such clemency comes from the Almighty God. They also go to the other Catholic priests for confessions.
Okay.
So,
what was the biggest challenge of being there?
Well, the biggest challenge was how restricted you will be. Restricted to the point that even when you are outside the seminary, even when you go out of the seminary within the 300 on vacations and what have you, the people out there, especially your church members and your friends, sees you differently and they expect so much from you.
Mm.
So the very things that you used to do with them, you can't do it anymore.
Okay.
Because now they see you as someone from the seminary.
Did that socialization affect your interactions with probably the opposite sex when you got to the university?
It did. It did. It was also one of the reasons I lost a number of elections on campus. Because I was not an outgoing person. Anybody who knows me very well from campus, and if you ask anybody from KNUST campus, they will tell you, Mr. Vincent, they don't pack us out. Vincent, you don't pen one semo. They will tell you. They will. Vincent, they don't pen one semo. So we were even surprised he wanted to be into politics.
I see.
So it had a bit of a toll on me, but trust me, God is a good architect. Everything that I have gone through from my primary school to this time, the good and the bad, were all planned by the Almighty God. And I have seen that indeed. There was nothing that was bad. Even me losing the elections wasn't bad. It has stuffing me to the extent that now, if I'm running for an election, I think that until the Almighty God says that I shouldn't win the election. Because I know what to do to win an election. I know what to do to win an election. Irrespective. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing bad. Those times, especially the University Students Association of Ghana president, when I ran for USAC president, we had the elections on, is it Pram Pram or something? I don't know, where do you have the election? One of these is universities, either Pram Pram or was it UCC? Maybe, I think it's UCC. Then after the elections, it was an election that everybody thought I had won. It was an election that everybody thought I had won. Because we had done so much. Even the people on K University campus who felt so bad that I had lost all these elections felt that this one there, where there was a Vincent Iwini. Only for me
result.
To lose that election by 4 votes.
Wow.
I called my mom, Mommy, my son Luso. And she was on the phone. And I could hear my dad talking, Osiden. Then my father realized that the way my mom is quiet, it didn't go well.
Yeah.
Because they had tried to support me in their own means, their teachers.
Yeah.
Teachers, he had cried the essay. And also co-elections. But they had to support me because I told them that I really wanted to do this.
If you're just joining us, this is Personality Profile here on Joy 99.7 FM, spending time with Deputy Minister of Local Government and Member of Parliament for Otafu Constituency, Lawyer Vincent Teko Asifo, on Personality Profile. You can send us a WhatsApp message on 055-111-1997. So tell me, at what point really did full-blown politics, and I'm talking mainstream, come in?
Well, when I granted an interview on TV3 one night, late night news, 10:30 p.m. At the time, I was the NASPA president. I was one of the people who drum home the argument that national service allowances at the time, which was 243 Ghana cedis, was not enough. And so we should increase it to about 350 Ghana cedis. I led this charge. And we were able to get the government to listen to what we were saying as the president of national service person. So after that interview, the current Minister for Information, Fatih, called me and said that, oh, second lady so so who that time, or this time second lady.
That's Samira.
Samira. And I was like, really? He said, yeah. I said, okay. Then anytime. And he said, okay, we have booked the appointment. So I think the next 2 days, she was not around. So when she gets to Accra. So I went to see her. She said she wanted to work with me. We started working.
Oh, wow.
So that's how come. Yes. So that's how come I became her special assistant.
Right.
In 2014 and then 15 thereabout.
Okay.
So I served her from that time till we won an election. Mm-hmm. I went to every nook and cranny of this country, especially the Zongos, with her.
Okay.
She worked tirelessly to make sure that her husband became the vice president of the republic at the time. Mm-hmm. That's when I realized that she could speak a lot of languages.
Oh yeah.
When you go to the Gans with her, the Gans Zongo, she will speak Gan. When you go to Central Region with her, my own hometown, she will speak the Fanti. She gets to the Zongos, Hausa, Fulani area, she will speak Fulani. She worked tirelessly, and I went everywhere with her at the time. But within that same time, I had an opportunity to have been sent to UTV one Saturday morning. Then when I finished the interview, Mami Fuakoto, that was 2015. At the time, I was just 24 years. And Mami Fuakoto called me and told me that Perry Okuche Toso will be so home on Tuesday. And I said, okay. And I asked, what's the venue? I said, DI. So I went there And Perry also told me that, you were on UTV, I was told you did so well, so we want to introduce you into the national communication team of the party. By that time, I was already in touch with the YAC Okufia Japan that I wanted to join. So once in a while, he would just let me go to one of these, quote-unquote, these smaller station. Then now I started appearing for the party on big stations, TV3, I mean all the big stations you can name off. Then in 2016, you know, we were doing this majority caucus, minority caucus. So it was Agba who was hosting. Then Kofi Ajapon and Perry and Kabo. At the time, you know, Kabo and Perry was the deputy communication directors. And they also introduced me to join Agba to host the minority caucus. Okay. So we were hosting the minority caucus. And Nana B also introduced me to the three version of the minority caucus on home-based TV, which I was also hosting for the party.
Okay.
So this is what I did. Yeah. And it was weekly, like what you do.
Yeah.
Here, the minority caucus was also on Thursdays, 6 o'clock, here at Joy, and the 3-1, which is on home base, was also done on Tuesdays around 8 p.m., which we close at 10. It was during these programs that I had the opportunity to meet almost every relevant person in the party. Mm. I met my boss, a man I respect so much. A man I think that he has played about 80% of me being here today, the Honorable Dr. Matthew Opoku Prempeh-Nappo. I met him, I had an interview with him. It was during these interview sessions that we got closer, and I was also introduced by another person to him, even after the interview. Then he said, okay, he wants me to be his spokesperson. That was how I became the PRO to the Ministry of Education in 2017.
Yeah.
So I became a member of parliament, or if you like, I felt. Interestingly, a number of people were saying, oh, now Bia, when you're 27 years old, how can he face these professors and these doctors in the education sector, especially when you are introducing your free SHS program, which is flagship, which is big? I don't think he can do it. But my love for Nappo is because he stood his ground and said, no, he will do it. He trained and made sure that I succeed as a spokesperson to the Ministry of Education. A position that I think that it exposed me to Ghanaian politics so much wider than it was before. And I learned so much also from him. When I decided to run for Otafo, my predecessor, Dr. Antonio Kutose, decided that he's not contesting anymore. I went to his office and I told him, the place is a place I have lived. My father, my mother, everybody lives there. My 7 other siblings schooled in the constituency. I also schooled in the constituency. I'm actually the 7th born. Mm-hmm. So we know the nook and cranny of the constituency. When I test the grounds, I feel that they want somebody who is one of their own. With the greatest of respect, Dr. Antonio Kutuo says served Otafo so well. But as I said, with the greatest of respect, there's a difference between me and Dr. Antonio Kutose in terms of how one's umbilical cord is tied to the soils of Otafo constituency. Because Dr. Antonio Kutose does not or has not lived in the constituency ever before until he became a member of parliament. But for me, I have lived and done everything in Otafo constituency. So they felt that this time they should find someone who has his umbilical cord tied to the soils of Otafo. Mm. So that's how come I decided to contest. And he gave me his blessings. He supported me throughout.
What role did you being a young man play in that particular contest?
I was not the youngest in the contest. There was one other guy who was about 25 or 26. At the time, his name is Prince Odino, who is the former, he's the son to the former transport director at the Jubilee House. He also contested that election. But of course, as a young man, as I said, it was not about money. It was not about influence. It was not about anything. It was about that kind of affection. That young boy, that young man they've seen growing up. So we want somebody we can, I mean, associate ourselves with. Okay. So that's how come I won the elections in Otafo. In Otafo, money or influence does not win an election there.
I see.
No, no. You can try it. Try it anyhow. Money does not win an election there. Influence does not win an election there. It is about love. If they love you, they'll vote for you.
What have you given back to them?
I have given a lot to them. For example, being a son of a teacher or being a son of teachers and the seventh born, you know, Lexix, how difficult it is for a teacher or a typical teacher to take care of even two or three kids in this our country. It did not start today. You see, a church for the and a teacher for the debia or market here was through. So when their colleagues who they sat in the same class with, doctors, engineers, and all those kind of professions are taking so much, for them, they are always taking a meager amount of salary. So my parents used this meager salaries to take care of eight kids. Had it not been grace, maybe I couldn't have been to school. But my parents tried so hard to take everybody to school. But we saw the struggle. We saw the struggle to the extent that because my mother was also a baker in addition to being a teacher. Sabi Ntumampu, and these things when I say, sometimes people think I am just manufacturing it. No, if you come to Tafu, they will tell you that Ntuma e de bedano. Ne ye isamun tuma ni apam together. And now most of us were using. So one room, one living room, the rest will be in the living room. This is what we grew up to see. So had it not been the grace of God, maybe I couldn't have been here today. So what can I do to support my people? To support any child in my constituency who comes to me or who creates the impression that I cannot support myself or my parents cannot support me, so I need support to be able to go to school. If you check, just about a year or two ago in KNUST, they sacked most of the students because they had not paid their fees. They sacked most of the students. It became very topical. I just wrote a letter on my letterhead and issued a press release that anybody who has been affected by that act of KNUST management and you are from Otafo, simply show me your ID card. Why should money deny somebody from having education to the extent that you deny me sitting here from being a member of parliament and a deputy minister just because of maybe now 1,005 or 1,008? If I can support, why don't I do that? So I paid for every student from KNUST, some of them who are even CPP, regional communications officer, and those kind. They say it even when you come to commercial radio station. I paid for everybody.
How many people?
I think they were about 88.
How did you fund it?
I funded from my common fund and personal resources. I funded for them. But apart from that, I have a scholarship scheme whereby I have decided, or I decided from 2021, ever since I became a member of parliament, that every year I will support not less than 100 people as far as the education is concerned from my common fund alone. The ones that I pay from my pocket, that one is uncountable. But I do so to support my constituents so that in the near future, the ones I'll remember, I will know that, Enyemianka Kodawi went to me on school. The ones I don't remember will also stay in their houses and pray for me and say that Enye Enrabla Kamibano went to me on school. That makes me happy.
Yeah. Let's talk about your work at the ministry, local government and rural development. Well, you probably have been in it less than a year, right?
No, just about 3-4 months.
Well, yeah. Of course. It's not been that long.
Yes.
Are you at a stage where you say you don't have a free hand to operate yet?
No, I don't.
Or you
think
are probably just learning the ropes of the ministry?
I am, but I think I also have a fantastic minister. I have a very young, dynamic minister who gives me room to be able to operate. The good thing is that he's been a deputy minister at the same ministry before, so he understands the ministry, and so we are rather learning from his guidance. And so the Honorable Martin James Sakosa, who is currently the MP for Techiman South, is my minister. So we are learning from him. The task that he gives to us, we think that we've been able to discharge it.
What's the main thing you've worked on within the period?
Well, there are some of them I may not be able to put out here, but of course, what I know is that maybe cabinet decisions, because we submit them to cabinet. Cabinet will have to make a decision that this is what government is actually doing. So I may not be able to put them out for now. But of course, the usual role of a minister or a deputy minister, you sit in conferences.
I'm talking about the ministry specific, because I'm thinking about the things that you're working on now.
You remember that just about a month or two ago, we launched this DRIP project. You remember,
mm-hmm.
where every constituency or every district has been given a set of construction tools so that we can localize road construction. Just about a month ago, the Ministry of Local Government launched that. And we have dispatched all these machines to the various districts. And so now, if you come to Old Tafo constituency, our machines are ready to be able to localize road construction.
Right.
So you don't have to wait for the Ministry of Roads and Highways before a 50-meter road or 100-meter road somewhere that you can just make it more travel will have to be done. At the local level, we have a committee. And the committee has been set up where every member of parliament is a part of the committee. The DC is also part of the committee, where those committees decide as to what will have to be done as far as the rules are concerned. We're also working on an urban policy whereby we'll be able to make sure that we can urbanize our various districts and our various societies. I'm sure that the policy has been sent to cabinet. It has been launched. We hope that it will become a law in no time. We have also worked on the University of Local Government Bill. It is in parliament. The last time that I checked, that was about 3 days ago. I knew that it was supposed to be part of what Parliament was supposed to pass. We are done with the first reading, we are done with the second reading. It's at the consideration stage. Okay. If you're able to pass it, then it means that for the first time, we've had a specialized institution, a specialized university that deals with local governance in this country.
Good stuff. I'd have loved for us to keep going on and on and on, but we're running out of time. One of the things that I'd like to find out is, what's the biggest lesson all this journey in life has taught you, through school, through politics, to governance and leadership? What's the biggest lesson you've learned?
Well, the biggest lesson that I've learned is, whatever happens at the interim, especially if it is bad, it is okay. In the moment, if you want to go through the pains, it is okay to go through the pain, but do not let it bring you down. Never. You have to understand and know that the Almighty God that we serve, if you believe in Him, I believe in Him, is a good architect. So at every point in time, at every stage of yours, He's preparing you. I feel that for me, I have been prepared so well for where I am today by everything that happened on my way to get to this level, everything that has happened. Because those times, if you get to KNWS, nobody will tell you. If you are looking for people who could have gotten to where I am today, they will never mention my name. You can ask any KNWS person, they will never mention my name, because I had lost successive elections. And so you can simply bid for your time. Today you will try something, if it doesn't work, it is okay. But I believe that it is better to be prepared for something, or to be prepared for Herculean tasks ahead, than not to be prepared at all. Because if you are not prepared and that opportunity comes, you cannot handle it.
Absolutely.
But if you are prepared,
yeah,
and the opportunity comes, you can handle it. So we should always get prepared as young people.
Perfect nuggets to wrap up this very lovely conversation with you, man. Congratulations.
Thank you, Lezis. Thank you so much, Lezis.
You've had a very colorful journey, and I'm sure the best is yet to come, actually.
we leave it in the hands of the Almighty God.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you, Lexus, for the opportunity.
My regards to your lecturer.
Lawyer Pebu.
Lawyer Martin Pebu. Lawyer.
He actually taught me a lot of thoughts at the LLB level.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. He had to remind you that...
What we were talking about was even constitutional law. It had nothing to do with thought. But of course, in law, nobody is right.
Absolutely.
You should be able to defend your point as far as the law is concerned.
I'm sure he was like, this gentleman missed a couple of my classes. That is why he's at here with me. But yeah, I mean, it's been a great time spending time with you.
Thank you so much.
I need to say congratulations on how far you've come. And like I said, the best is yet to come.
Thank you, Lesix.
That's my guest for tonight, lawyer Vincent Eko Asifua, who is the Deputy Minister for Local Government and as well the Member of Parliament for Otafu Constituency. If you missed any part of this conversation, the video is live on Facebook. You can actually go and play back and get to know about his journey from running away from the seminary and his Catholic priest's journey, which he truncated for obvious reasons. I'm Lexus Bill on behalf of the team. Thanks a lot for spending time with us. Uncle Ken is in the studio. He'll be on your radio right after the news at 8 o'clock. Stay tuned in.